Well, hey, everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Malvern Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we're continuing on in our sermon series called Imprint, where we're talking about life lessons that were first imprinted on us when we were kids. And whether it happened when we saw a classmate fall on the playground or if we saw a friend cry when one of their toys got broken, we all learn from a young age that we need to comfort people who are sad. But as we get a little bit older, we learn that not all of life's problems can be solved with a hug or with a Band-Aid. So in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about how we can move beyond Band-Aids to offer real comfort when people are sad. So let's get right into this episode's sermon. It was back in 1976 when Richard Dawkins first coined the term meme in his book, The Selfish Gene. And he coined this as a way of talking about how ideas can rapidly spread through the public consciousness. But that's probably not the way that any of us would define what a meme is today. For us today, a meme is an image that you see and you share on social media as a way of sharing your attitudes or your feelings or your frustrations in a clever and humorous way. And if you have spent much time at all on social media over the last 15 years or so, there's a good chance that you have a favorite kind of meme. Like, you may be a fan of Grumpy Cat and his ill-tempered sense of humor, like in this meme we'll put up on the screen, where Grumpy Cat says, "I had fun once. It was awful." Or maybe you prefer the way that Philosoraptor wrestles with life's biggest questions, like in this meme, where he wonders, if you watch an Apple store get robbed, does that mean that you are an eyewitness? Philosoraptor makes great puns, what can I say? Or maybe you like to celebrate life's small victories with Success Kid, like in this meme, where he is just really excited about the fact that he had a fly in his house and he opened up the window so the fly would go out and the fly actually went out. That's a pretty big victory that comes along in life. Now, all of those are great memes, and there's tons more like them. But there is one specific type of meme that always seems to get me to stop scrolling whenever I'm on social media, Facebook, Instagram, whatever else. And the memes that always seem to get me to stop scrolling are when I see memes where parents share the reasons why their kids are having major meltdowns. Right, and I think that I enjoy these memes so much because the first time that I remember seeing them was when my daughter was still in that prime meltdown-having phase in her life. So I enjoyed seeing these memes as a nice reminder that I wasn't the only parent whose kid was going through that phase. But I want to share with you a few of my favorite meltdown memes this morning as well. And I want to start with this first one because it tells a perfect story inside of it. So put that meme up on the screen so you can see it. All right, so in this meme, as you're looking at it, this girl is having an absolute fit because she can't hold on to her fork. And why can't she hold on to her fork? Because she's trying to eat with oven mitts on. So she's having a major meltdown about it. Or then you have another meltdown meme like the next one that we'll put up on the screen. And in this meme, you've got this poor little guy who is absolutely heartbroken that he is all out of muffins. And why is he all out of muffins? Because he ate them all. I got to say, I make that exact same face when I finish a snack too sometimes. And I wish that I had more, but that's just how it goes. Or then we've got one last of these meltdown memes that we want to share. And in this meme, you're going to see a little boy who is meeting Bill Murray. And he is not at all happy that he is meeting Bill Murray. So when I see that meme, all I can think is that poor guy's parents must have made him watch the Charlie's Angels movies too. And if you've seen those movies, you understand why it would make you cry. But these memes, yeah, we can look at them and we can all laugh at them. And we can at least laugh at them in part because it's not our kids that are in any of those pictures. But we can also all enjoy those memes because we have all seen kids who have had major temper tantrums or meltdowns for seemingly no reason whatsoever. But the truth is that kids don't actually have meltdowns or throw temper tantrums for no reason whatsoever. Kids have meltdowns because they're experiencing emotions that they haven't learned how to process in other ways. So yes, that means that you're going to see kids that will cry when they're angry. And kids are going to cry when they're upset. And kids are going to cry when they're hungry. And they're going to cry when they're tired. But the biggest reason why kids cry is the biggest reason why all of us cry. We cry when we're sad. And what does that mean? What does it mean for us to be sad? Well, sadness is one of our most basic emotions. It's an emotional state that is characterized by feelings of unhappiness or being in a low mood. And it's perfectly natural for us to experience sadness and as a normal reaction to situations that are either upsetting or painful or disappointing for us. So even though we may not like to feel sad, we all feel sad from time to time. But sadness can become unhealthy for us when we allow it to linger in our lives, when sadness lasts for a prolonged period of time, and when we refuse to do anything to address the reasons why we're feeling sad in the first place. And you can tell that sadness is becoming unhealthy in your life when it starts affecting the way that you live your life. Like, you can tell that sadness is becoming unhealthy for you when it affects your appetite and it causes you to eat too much or too little. Or you can tell that sadness is becoming unhealthy in your life when it causes you to withdraw from the world around you and makes you not do things that you would ordinarily enjoy doing. Or you can tell that sadness is becoming unhealthy for you when it affects your sleep and it causes you to stay awake at night or to sleep too much during the day. So sadness can become unhealthy for us. And when sadness becomes unhealthy, it can take us to a pretty dark place. And that's why when we're kids, we all learn a pretty valuable lesson about sadness. And that's what we've been talking about at Malvern Heights over the last few weeks. We have been remembering life lessons that we first learned when we were kids in the series that we're calling, I forgot what I'm calling it, Imprint. It's not imprinted in my brain. You know, but we're talking about these life lessons that were first imprinted on us when we were kids. And if we stop and we think about it for a minute, we can all admit that there are a lot of valuable life lessons that we learn when we're younger. By the time that we're learning how to tie our shoes, we've also learned how to share and how to play fair and how to clean up our own mess. So there are plenty of life lessons that we learned as kids that we should never outgrow. There are plenty of life lessons that we learned when we were kids that we should never outgrow. But throughout the series, we're not just talking about life lessons that our parents tried to teach us or things that we learned when we were in school. We're specifically trying to think about life lessons that we learned in church when we were younger. And these are lessons that we need to hold on to as we grow older. So over the last couple of weeks, we've tried to remind you that one of the most important life lessons that we all learn when we're younger in church is actually a lesson that Jesus teaches us in the most famous sermon that Jesus ever preached, a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you find the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. But in Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus teaches us that you are the light of the world. And then he goes on to tell us, let your light shine before people. So one of the most important life lessons that we learn as kids, a life lesson that we should never forget no matter how old we get, is that when life feels dark, we need to shine Jesus' light. When life feels dark, we need to shine Jesus' light. But how do we do that? How do we shine Jesus' light when life feels dark? We talked about this a little bit last week, but we can define the word light as shining or directing light on or toward something. And that's what we mean when we talk about shining a spotlight on something. You take a spotlight and you direct the light on toward an actor who is standing on stage so that everyone in the audience will turn their attention to that person. Well, that's what Jesus wants us to do when the world around us feels dark. He wants us to direct our light onto that dark area and then work to try to fix whatever it is that's wrong in that area. But what's that have to do with sadness? Well, like I mentioned a minute ago, when sadness becomes unhealthy for us, it can take us all to a pretty dark place. And what this means is that when people are sad, we need to shine Jesus' light. When people are sad, we need to shine Jesus' light. And again, this is a lesson that all of us start to learn when we're pretty young. It's actually something that I saw play out just about every day when we still owned and operated a preschool as a church. Because when we were in our old building, the toddler's preschool class was just down the hall from my office. And just about every day I got to watch as these toddlers, who hadn't quite mastered the whole art of walking yet, kind of waddle their way down the hallway when they were going outside or going someplace else in the building. And it never failed that as these kids were waddling along, one of them would topple over. And then they'd start to cry, because that's what toddlers do. But as soon as that happened, one of their little friends would amble their way back to the kid who had just fallen, and they'd wrap them up in their arms, give them a great big old hug, because they wanted to comfort this classmate who was hurting. It's also a lesson that I learned firsthand when I was pretty young, because I remember a time in elementary school where I jumped off the swing set when our teacher told us that recess was over. And let's just say that when I jumped off of that swing set, I didn't exactly stick the landing, okay? And this happened back in the day before, like, we had rubberized surfaces over all of our playgrounds and rubberized mulch down on the ground. So when I hit the ground, I landed directly on top of gravel, because somebody thought that was a good idea to put gravel down on playgrounds. And when I landed on the ground, you know, the knee of my blue jeans was absolutely shredded up, and I had a pretty good scratch. It was on my knee as well. And as soon as I stood up and I started dusting myself off, I had one of my classmates come to check on me, to make sure that I was all right, and then to walk with me down to the nurse's office so the nurse could clean me up and could put a Band-Aid over the good-sized scratch that I had on my knee. So from a very young age, we learn that we need to comfort people when they're sad. We learn that we need to comfort people when they're hurting. But as we get a little bit older, we also learn that not all of life's problems can be solved with a hug or with a Band-Aid. Not all of life's problems can be solved with a hug or with a Band-Aid. So I want us to spend the rest of our time together today thinking about how we can move beyond hugs and Band-Aids and offer people comfort when they're hurting, offer people comfort when they're sad. And to help us do that, I want us to take a look at a story that we find in the Gospel of John today. So if you've got a Bible close by, go ahead and grab it and turn to John chapter 19. And as you're finding John 19, I just want to remind you that we call the book of John, we call this a gospel, because the word gospel, it means good news. And the book of John is going to share with us the good news of Jesus. So the Gospel of John is basically a biography of Jesus. That means that as you're reading the book of John, you're going to be able to read about who Jesus is, and you'll be able to learn about how he spent his time on earth. You're going to be able to read about the people that Jesus met and the places that Jesus went. You'll be able to read about Jesus' ministry and the miracles that he performed, and you'll be able to read about Jesus' crucifixion as well as his resurrection. Well, today I want us to take a look at John 19, where we're going to look at something that happens while Jesus is being crucified, while he is dying on the cross. Because even as Jesus is dying on the cross, he's going to show us how we can comfort people who are hurting. So with that in mind, let's take a look at John chapter 19 together. We're going to start reading in verse 25. Here's what John writes. John says, Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood near the cross. So as Jesus is dying on the cross, John tells us that Jesus' mother, Mary, standing right there. And to say that Mary was sad when she saw her son dying isn't just a horrible understatement. It also seems to trivialize the way that Mary would have been feeling in that moment. But as we keep reading in John 19, we're going to see what Jesus does to try to comfort his mom when she's sad. So let's pick back up at verse 26 and we'll see what Jesus does. Here John tells us, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. And then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So what does Jesus do to shine his light when his mom is hurting? Well, he actually does several things inside of this passage. And the first thing that Jesus is going to do inside of this passage to help his mom while she's hurting is he's going to call her attention to the disciple that is standing right beside her. And Jesus does this because he knows that in this moment, Mary is sad. Mary is hurting. But he also wants Mary to understand that she's not alone. That's one of the best things that we can do if we want to shine Jesus' light when people are sad, if we want to shine Jesus' light when people are hurting. We need to remind them and show them that they're not alone in their pain and their suffering. Because we all know that when you're sad, it's easy to feel like you're the only one who is hurting. This actually reminds me of a story that the author John Swinton, who's both an author and a theologian, shares in his book, Raging with Compassion. This is a story that was shared with John Swinton by one of his colleagues in ministry. And Swinton tells the story about a mother of four children who is coming back from the grocery store one day with one of her kids in the car with her. But when this mother and her child are about 400 yards from their house, they're killed in a head-on collision with a drunk driver. From there, Swinton goes on to tell us that her husband heard the noise from the accident, and he ran out of their house, accompanied by the other three children. He called for an ambulance on his mobile phone, and he ran toward the car. But it wasn't until he got up close that he realized that that tangled mass of metal was his wife's car, and that his wife and his child had been killed. As the ambulance drove off, the youngest son moved closer and he laid across his father, who was sitting on the curb in shock. One by one, the two other children came and they laid across their dad and they began to cry out. At first, it was simply sobbing, but eventually words began to formulate from the huddled masses of their bodies, asking why? Why did you take her, Lord? Why her? Why now? I want my mommy back. My colleague, who had arrived on the scene, sat down beside that huddled pile of broken people. In silence, he sat, and he prayed, and he wept. At that moment, there was nothing that anyone could say or do that was going to cheer up that family, which unfortunately is what we all too often feel we need to do when someone is sad. We feel like we need to cheer them up. But in that moment, there was no cheering up that husband and his children who had just lost a wife and a mother and a child and a sibling. So what that family needed in that moment wasn't somebody to come along and try to put a smile on their face. What that family needed in that moment was to know that they weren't alone in their pain. They needed to know that they weren't alone in their suffering. They needed to know that people were with them and that they were going to have people who loved them and cared them that would be with them no matter what happened. So yeah, if you and I want to shine the light of Jesus when people are hurting and when they are sad, then we need to show people that they're not alone. We need to walk with them as they travel through that dark valley. But this isn't the only thing that Jesus does inside of this passage. Jesus does more than just remind Mary that she's not alone. And the next thing that Jesus does for Mary in this passage is a whole lot more subtle, and it's really easy for us to overlook. But inside of this passage, when Jesus simply recognizes that Mary is at the foot of the cross as he's being crucified, and he takes the time to speak with his mother as she is watching her son die on that cross, what Jesus does is he acknowledges the pain that Mary is feeling. He acknowledges that Mary is sad, that she is hurting, that she needs comfort. And he validates that pain for her. And that's something that we all need to experience when we're going through difficult times. And it's something that if we want to shine Jesus' light when people are hurting and sad, we need to do. We need to validate their pain. We need to let people know that it's okay for them to hurt. It's okay for them to be sad. It's okay for them to go through these tough times and feel however it is that they're feeling. Because the truth is that we don't live in a world that likes to validate our pain. No, we live in a world that will tell you when you're sad, you just need to cheer up. When you're hurting, you just need to move on with your life. When you're going through difficult times, you just need to get over it. When you're going through tough times and getting into a dark place, you just need to suck it up and keep getting on with your life. So we all need people around us that will tell us it's okay to feel the way that we're feeling, that it's okay for us to be sad, that it's okay for us to hurt in those moments. And that's exactly what Jesus does, just by recognizing his mom is standing at the foot of the cross. He acknowledges her pain and lets her know that it's okay to feel the way that she's feeling. And then Jesus does one last thing for his mom. In that moment, as she's standing there watching him die on the cross. And the last thing that Jesus does is he offers Mary practical help. Here's what I mean. Now, we know that Jesus is Mary's oldest son. And in this culture, it would have been the oldest son's responsibility to take care of his mother after his father passed away. And because we don't hear any mention of Joseph in Jesus' story when he's an adult, we assume that Joseph passed away when Jesus was younger. So that meant that it would have been Jesus' responsibility to make sure that his mother was taken care of. This means that Jesus would have been the one who was responsible for making sure that Mary was fed, that her bills were paid, that she had a roof over her head, that she was able to live her life the way that she wanted to live her life. But Jesus also knows that he's not going to be able to take care of his mom much longer as he's dying on that cross. So Jesus talks to his beloved disciple. He talks to John. He talks to the only one of his disciples, the only one of his closest followers who was there as he was dying on the cross. And he says to John, "Here is your mother." And then we're told that John takes Mary into his own home at that point. Jesus was making sure that his mom was taken care of in a practical way, knowing that his time on earth was almost over. So if you and I, if we want to shine the light of Jesus when people are hurting, if we want to shine the light of Jesus when people are sad, we need to find practical ways that we can help people. And so what does that look like for us? Well, I actually know that I've had a lot of conversations over the years with our former administrative assistant, Rick. And you may or may not be aware of this, but Rick and his wife lost a daughter long before I ever came to Melbourne Heights. And talking with him in those moments, Rick told me that one of the most useful things that people did for him and Penny as they were grieving the loss of their daughter was to bring them gift cards so that they could go out and they could buy food from their favorite restaurants. Because in those moments, they didn't feel like taking care of themselves. They didn't feel like cooking another meal. So that's a practical way that we can help people when they're hurting. You can offer to bring them a home-cooked meal or to give them a gift card to their favorite restaurant so that they can feed themselves even when they don't feel up to cooking for themselves. Or maybe it looks like offering to come over and clean up somebody's house. Because you know that when you're going through a difficult time, the last thing that you want to do is take care of basic chores around the house. Maybe you offer to come and spend a few hours taking care of somebody's kids. Maybe you volunteer to go shopping for them or try to get them out of the house by inviting them to go shopping with you. Maybe you send them a book that addresses the difficult time that they're going through and might help them make it to the other side. But the reality is that if we really want to comfort people when they're hurting, we need to find practical ways to help. And this is a way that all of us feel deep down inside a lot, and I hear it said all the time when I'm at funeral homes or things like that, where I'll hear people walk by folks who had just lost a loved one and tell them, "If there's anything I can do for you, just let me know." And that's great, and your heart is absolutely in the right place, but it's not very practical, is it? Because now you're asking somebody who is sad, who is grieving, who is hurting, who is going through a difficult time to be thinking about a practical need in their life that you can meet. So instead of always asking, if they're saying, "If there's anything I can do for you," one of the best things you could do in those situations is just to say, "Hey, I want to give you a gift card so that you can buy dinner for yourself. Where do you like to eat?" You know, easy things, practical things that become really important to help people make it through the days and weeks as they're struggling with being sad, as they're struggling with being in pain. So yes, even when we are kids, we learn the lesson that we should be comforting people when they're sad. But as we get older, we figure out that hugs and band-aids aren't going to fix all of life's problems. So if we really want to comfort people who are hurting, we need to take that next step. If we want to shine Jesus' light in the darkness of sadness and pain and sorrow in our world, we need to follow Jesus' example. We need to be there for people as they're hurting. We need to let them know that whatever way they're feeling is a valid way to feel. We need to find practical ways to help them make it through the difficult time that they're experiencing. It's what Jesus does. And we are called to shine Jesus' light. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer, you know that every one of us deals with feeling sad sometimes, that every one of us has hurt that happens in our lives. And God, you know that we all are aware of the dark places that sadness can drag us down into. But God, you tell us that we are the light of the world, that we are to reflect your light into the darkness that we find. So God, my prayer for each of us today is that you help us to shine your light when we meet people who are hurting, when we meet people who are sad. God, help us to meet them exactly where they are, to let them know that they're not alone in their pain, to let them know that it's okay to shed tears, to cry, to be upset. And God, let us find practical ways that we can help them make it through the days ahead. God, challenge all of us to do a better job of reflecting your light into this world so that we can shine a light so many people around us need to see. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning into this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has challenged you to move beyond hugs and band-aids and do things to really comfort people when they're hurting. Be there for them. Let them know that they're not alone. Let them know that what they're feeling is perfectly normal and it's fine for them to feel however it is that they're feeling, and find practical ways that you can help people when they're hurting. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, but I want to encourage you to come back and join us next week when our next episode drops as we continue on in the sermon series, remembering life lessons that were first imprinted on us when we were kids. As always, if you subscribe to our podcast, that episode will be sent straight to your favorite podcasting app, or you can come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We worship at mhbclouisville.com/live. We'd love to have you come and join us. Well, until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I will be praying for you. We'll see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.